Get rolling here today. Welcome and thank you so much for joining us here today on TechBeat, where founders learn, innovate, and grow. I'm joined today by my esteemed friend, colleague, fellow founder, creator, James Jensen. He's a legend the guy who created The Void and has now created Jump by his parent company called Limitless Flight. Yep. I'm going to come back to James here in just a minute, but want to just do a couple of quick housekeeping items and announcements. First of all, TechBeat is now on all major podcast platforms, so feel free to go out there and subscribe. We would appreciate the support. You can find us on Spotify or Apple or Google or Pandora, anywhere you want to look for us, YouTube. The content is now consumable via audio and video, and obviously you can listen to it on the go anywhere. We have, consistently some really amazing guests like my buddy James here. Today we've got coming up actually some of you, hopefully most of you that are joining us here, paid attention to the news this week. As of August 1, Nexus IT and our colleagues and friends over at Intellitex have merged together as one company. And so on August 25th, I have my two new partners, Eric Sessions and Jake Heeler, on TechBeat with me on the podcast here. I'm super excited to bring them on to talk a little bit about our story together, and how it is that we brought the two entities into one entity, why we've done that, and all that kind of stuff. Coming up in September, we have Garrett Clark and John Bowers from Silicon Slopes. Of course, late September is the Silicon Slopes Tech Summit. So we'll be talking a little bit about that with them. Tara Spalding, the managing director of Boom Startup, will be joining me at the end of September. Sid Tetro, CEO of Brandless, is joining me in October. Josh Little, founder, CEO of Volley, will be joining me in October. And then in November, we're going to do a really cool females in tech session. Actually, Mallory Lovestad, our director of marketing, who is in studio with us today, running audio and video for us and making sure that we are working. She'll be on that along with Tara Anderson and Aubrey Murray. Tara from Framework Security, Aubrey from PSI Storage. Got some cool ladies that are going to come on, and we're going to chat a little bit about the evolution of females in tech and how that's beginning to play a bigger role here in Utah. So all those things said, let's get down to the man of the hour, James Jensen. Thanks for sitting tight for a little bit while we got through all
no
that,
problem.
Buddy. All right, let me tell you.
Happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you,
yeah,
man.
This is going to be fun.
This is a total pleasure for me. Let me just give you a little bit of background on James real quick, and then we'll dig into his story a little bit more. So the vision behind Jump came from dreamer and doer James Jensen. James loves harnessing the latest technology to create life-changing moments. He also loves offering people the experience of flying without the usual money, time, and risk of death that base jumping requires. James Jensen is an entrepreneur committed to solving problems related to how people interact and engage with each other. He was one of those kids who would take everything apart to see how it works. Now he creates experiences that utilize VR to transport people to another place. Jensen is always at the forefront of technology. James, welcome to the studio. Welcome to TechBeat.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so excited to get into this conversation. You've been a guy that many of us have followed for a number of years. Obviously an extraordinary visionary that has been a creator of some really amazing things. So, but before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about James as a kid, James as an adolescent. Where did you grow up? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit, your life story, and how maybe those early years, those formative years, led to you becoming the James Jensen you are today, creator, founder of some pretty cool stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a very nice compliment. When I was a kid, I actually grew up on a farm. I grew up, my grandparents were the suppliers for Wrigley's for their mint. So my grandparents grew mint, and they had these massive mint farms and crop dusting airplanes and stuff like that. My dad farmed sugar beets and corn on a farm. We had 860 acres. I have four brothers, two older brothers, two younger brothers. So I was the middle. I don't think it's the middle messed up child anymore. I think it's the middle privileged child. I don't know. I like being the middle child. It was great. I could wear everybody's clothes. So it was awesome. but I grew up on a farm till I was about 12. Our nearest neighbors were 2 miles away. So I basically made friends with my brothers. We all hung out, created a really deep bond with each other and depended on each other. I remember like when we first started dating, because I didn't start dating until I came to Utah. I was too young. But when we first started dating, my brother would date a girl and I like date her sister. Like, why do you guys always hang out? Like, nobody hangs out with their brothers. Like, what's going on? And so it was kind of fun. But I always reflect back of like my childhood and what that was all about. And it was about, I was surprised none of us died because we did crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I was riding a motorcycle when I was 8. I rode a motorcycle when I was 6. I learned how to ride like a power bike.
Yeah.
And then I was driving a tractor by the time I was 8 out in the field.
Growing up in the country, man.
Yeah, and there was a huge river that was next to our house. And my parents just let us go and let us go explore. Yeah. And we were out on the spillway in this massive river, and which iced over every year. And there was a moment where my brother fell through the ice and I helped him out of the ice. Like, there's so many opportunities for us to not live. But I think it, as I reflect back, that gave me a lot of sense of adventure and experimentation and risk.
Where was the farm, by the way?
It was in Oregon.
Okay.
Out by a little town called Nessa, Oregon.
Okay.
My elementary school was 2 hours away too. So we rode our motorcycles for a little bit and got on the bus and drove the rest of it.
Wow.
But that was kind of my childhood. When I was 12, we moved to Utah, cause my dad kind of lost the farm. My dad was like an entrepreneur, you know, betting the farm every year,
it's
a very thing. It is a very real thing.
Yeah.
They have to buy new equipment. They've got to buy all the seeds. They've got to buy all that stuff to do it. And if your crops die, you lose it. Like it's you're all in.
The bank's not very forgiving when Mother Nature doesn't help.
Yeah. My dad had really amazing dreams with the farm with my mom. They had like this shared vision of what it could potentially be. And my dad liked farming, but he really wanted to build something that was more more adventure. We lived in this piece of land that was right next to the Waihee River that goes through there. It's famous for brown trout. And he always had these doctors and people come to his property and like fly in to shoot pheasants and do these adventures. And so he eventually wanted to turn the whole thing into this resort.
Oh, cool.
It has a landing strip and you bring people in and there's like cottages on the river. And it was so cool. And he had this whole vision for all of that. And he was never able to really kind of see that all the way through. But as a young kid, that was very influenced by his ability to kind of dream big and, you know, do the daily things he's got to do, like, but still have this dream that he's shooting for.
Yeah.
We moved to Utah and my dad taught me how to oil paint when I was really young. He was also a painter and artist. And so he taught me how to oil paint and I fell in love with art. Did traditional painting through my design career. I painted illustrations for books and stuff like that.
Wow.
And then I found computers and fell in love with the undo button. I mean, it's nice. Undo button's amazing.
Right.
And so I started working with design firms on that and getting into computers. And then I got into computer animation and visual effects, which was really fun because then I'm, building worlds and building things. And I didn't necessarily go to school for that initially. I went to school for commercial art and design. And then I ended up just getting really busy because I was doing a lot of contract work alongside of me just having a normal job. You know, I have still had to pay for things. And so I had to kind of work into it. So the design firm I worked with, I actually, when I met them, I did some pieces for them for some of the books that they were designing. And they took me into this other room and like, hey, this is our computer animation system and it's really cool and it's this 3D machine, and if you know anybody that could run it, we'd love to be introduced to him. I was like, well, I'll run it. I had no idea how to run any of it. And so I said, well, if you let me just take all the books, and the books are this huge stack. It was a software called Softimage, Soft Image. But I say Softimage because when you call in, it was French ladies and like Softimage. So I took this stack of books, went home, read as much as I could, came in every day on my own time. And I worked there for 3 months until they saw that I had some skills that I was able to start charging for my work for their clients. Mm-hmm. And then a few months of that, and then they sent me to school in LA to learn the more advanced techniques, animation, character animation, stuff like that. And they kind of did deal with them or hang out with them for a couple of years because they sent me to school for that.
That's so cool.
So that's kind of like the beginning. I went to a couple other design firms, and then I created my own design firm called Sandman Studios, and we did visual effects for some Hollywood films. We worked on Scooby-Doo 2 and a couple other kind of B movies, but that was kind of my first step into like entrepreneurship, owning my own business and my own clients, and doing that for real. And through that process, I did a lot of visual effects. So it was green screen, people composited with virtual reality or virtual sets. Back then, we had a system, it was called an Encodacam system. It was one of the first ones where you could track a camera in real time, and then the director could see on a screen, they could see a computer generated world with the actor in real time. So then they can kind of pick their shots. It's like standard practice now. But at the time, it was like revolutionary. And when I saw that moment of a person walking on a blue screen in a virtual world that was mapped to physical things, I immediately had this Tron moment where I want to be inside the computer. I want to be in the computer. I want to be in there. We could have a physical world that's mapped with a virtual, and the virtual could be anything. I could be chest deep with sharks, you know?
Yeah.
And have these amazing adventures. And that's kind of where the idea of mapping a virtual world over a physical world came from, was from my production and visual effects background. And I had that idea several years ago. It's probably 20 plus years now.
Yeah. Wow. Way ahead of your time, really.
Yeah. And so I kind of chased that, built models around it, and tried to get in front of Universal and all these places. I'm like, these guys are gonna love it. It's an attraction that never gets old. Like, it just changes, you know. And I really approached it from an entertainment value. That's all I kind of really knew at that point. And I bumped into my two other business partners with The Void, which is Ken Bretschneider and Curtis Hickman. And they were building a park called Evermore, and I helped them do previs for Evermore, so they could get more investment. If you don't want pre-vises, you're building basically a three-dimensional version of what it is, and then you can go through and walk through it and see perspective lines and stuff like that, sight lines. And so through that process, Ken and Curtis asked me if I had any attraction ideas, and I was like, well, this so happened that I've always wanted to map a virtual world over a physical world, and it initially started as attraction at Evermore, and Ken Bretschneider invested in me and my team to build a prototype, and we built that in 3 months. And then we saw that it was going to work, and then he invested more money, and then it just kind of like forked off from Evermore and became its own thing.
Yeah.
And The Void was amazing. The whole process was a really good learning experience for me, and going from like zero locations to 20 plus locations worldwide, and having a relationship with Disney and Sony and Fidelity, it was just massive learnings.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through that process, I had my own self-discovery that we could maybe get into.
Totally.
But leading up to Jump, the reason why I kind of went to something else in 2018, other than the dynamics of the company were a little not very conducive for a person like me. I've moved on, and I wanted to do Jump. And the reason why Jump became a thing was, first of all, I want a wingsuit base jump. And my wife's like, there's no way in hell you're ever doing it. My buddy's Marshall Miller, and he is a professional wingsuit base jumper. And it's like, man, I really wish I could do that. And that's just not possible.
Yeah.
You know,
I've always wanted to base jump my whole life.
Yeah.
Until I did Jump. And then I'm like, there's no way I'm ever going to do that in real life.
I know. Mostly it'd be the consensus when they leave. And Marshall said this in his last video. It's like, I thought, you know, when they talk back to him, like, I thought you were crazy, but you're like legit nuts.
Yeah.
To do that in real life.
Yes. You have zero fear. Anyways, go on.
Yeah. So the thing that I didn't anticipate when I built The Void with the team was what it really was going to be, like what door that actually opened up.
Yeah.
I had this idea that it was this new entertainment concept that would replace theaters potentially, or be like something where you're not watching Star Wars, you're going on a quest of Star Wars with your buddies. Like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a perfect evolution of entertainment.
Right.
I didn't anticipate the way it would impact the individual when they went through an experience like that, where they're in a state of, they're like this dreamlike state where anything is possible. You've yanked them out of their reality and you put them in a new reality. And they were, I got fascinated with people coming out of the experience because they were just open to possibilities. They're like a little kid. Like everything was fascinating. Like the plant was fascinating, the colors were, and people. And I mean, is this real? Because I just touched all these things in this virtual world that looked real and felt real. So what does that mean about reality? Right. People came out with like these deep concepts.
Right.
Like average people that, you know, would probably never say anything like that.
Like me, I can attest to my experience in Jump, right? And I know we'll get more into Jump, but if you recall, you know, when I came down to, you know, beta test, which, you know, thank you for bringing a group
you
of us
to
down there
back,
to do that.
You went through the... It's way different.
I went through the ground. That was kind of funky. if you remember, I came out sweating bullets.
Yeah.
Like, had like a physical and mental manifestation of, you know, like this is...
Yeah,
this is legit. Like, you felt like I felt like I was flying, right?
Yes.
It's so realistic what you guys have created. It's
Thank
absolutely
you.
Amazing. And like, I came out and I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? What just happened? Like, again, that was my moment when I said, I think I can probably be happy to do this in studio.
Yeah.
And not
simulation
ever go for,
is fine.
Yeah.
Lights
oh, hey, we're
down.
Losing the lights here.
It just means that
there we go.
The universe agrees with us.
Yeah. Go ahead, man. Keep going with the story here.
Yeah. So I got fascinated with people coming out of the experience, and I ended up spinning off with one of my neuroscientist buddies about, like, what is going on? You know, like, there's something else going on in the experience that we're not taking advantage of or paying attention to, the state that people come out in. I mean, I'd have people that come out and, like, what is even reality anymore? And it would last for a minute or two, 10 minutes, sometimes a couple of days. People would come back, like, reality has changed for me.
Yeah.
And so I got really fascinated with that. And what, you know, long story short, came to the conclusion with some of my colleagues that what the void had done is actually put a person in a state of presence that they're not usually in.
Yeah.
They're in a state of ultimate presence and in the moment. Some will call that being in the now or whatever.
Yeah.
Or others will call it being in flow state. The technology itself put them in flow state.
Yeah.
Without any deserving of that. I was doing it for entertainment. I had no idea that it was going to do this thing. And so that is a massive opportunity. We now have a place on the planet where you can put a person into a simulation and you have their 100% attention in flow state, in a heightened emotional state. There's no walls in that. No psychological walls. There's no boundaries. They're open to possibilities. And one of the examples I like to give to illustrate this is, look up VR fails. Richie's plank.
Okay.
Look at it.
Okay.
Look at it for what it is. Like, you can laugh for a bit.
Yeah.
About people diving through their televisions. It's consistent.
Yeah.
You know how long Richie's plank is? It's maybe a minute, 2 minutes. You go up an elevator, you walk out on a plank. After you put on, so you put on the headset, and within a minute or two, you're on the edge of a plank in a completely fake-looking environment.
Yeah.
And they dive off into their television or onto the ground or through the wall, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so if when you look at that, it's funny, but what that illustrates is they've gotten into a present state, a consciousness state, a dream state where they think they can fly and anything's possible, and they dive off. And one of the things that I did in my last...
Completely forgetting about the physical world around them.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the things I did in my last panel is I said, I will give anybody this $100 bill if they'll come up here and put their hands behind their back and fall onto their face. And you can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll literally give anybody $100 if they could do that. you want to stop yourself, right? But in that scenario, you believe it's possible. That's a huge belief system. That's an amazing opportunity. So I spun off on that a little far, but that's the purpose and core behind what we're doing with Jump. It is a wingsuit based jumping experience, but that experience alone, like these guys that risk their lives, Marshall that risked his lives over 10,000 times. I never understood, like, why would you do that? Why would that be a bucket list thing? And like, I did it. Like, I wingsuit base jump, the end.
It was literally, why would you literally on my bucket to do list. That? I ticked it off.
Yeah.
Thanks to you.
Why would you continue to do that?
Yeah.
Like, why would he do that? He has a family, he has kids, he has a wife that he kisses every day and, you know, says goodbye to you and he goes, jump off something. Like, why would you risk your life to do that?
Yeah.
It was only when I jumped the first time in the simulator, it was all kind of connecting where I jumped, I flew, and then I pulled my parachute. And when my feet touched back down, I knew instantly why he would risk his life to do that over and over.
Yeah.
Because it's a sensation and a feeling, a state of presence that is very hard to get into in reality unless you're really well trained.
Oh, you have to be very in that moment, especially, I mean, when it's in real life.
Yeah.
In the physical world, I mean, they have to be so on and tuned in to the wind, the breeze, any shift in movement, you know. Yeah. And it's just like the slightest shifts in your arm, like you're
yes,
like you could crash into a cliff by moving your arm, you know, less than an inch, right?
Yeah.
And so it's pretty, in fact, I would say the two most intense experiences I've ever had in my whole life. And, number one was just across the street here, which, by the way, we're at Park City Kiln. We've been trying out some different, kind of studio environments the last few months. Just across the street at Utah Olympic Park, several years back with some buddies, I did the bobsled. And of course, you know, the summer bobsled, they start you down a little bit lower, but you hit 3 G's in that bobsled starting, you know, like three quarters of the way up the track. I think it is, the first couple of turns are no big deal from there. Like literally by the time we finished, I got out of the sled and I said, I don't know if I can say I enjoyed that. That was insanely intense. It was everything you could do to keep your head, you know, forward and not just smacking into the sides of it. In fact, you have to lock your head in, like with your shoulders up and everything. And the guy in front of me, my buddy in front of me, literally his head was just going bam, 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 like a pinball off the sides of the sled, right? Anyways, it was that was a very intense experience. It was fun. I don't know if I'd do it again. You know, it was one of those experiences that you just go, wow, okay, like that was way more than I ever expected it to be. Jump for me was one of those experiences.
Thank you.
Where I thought it wouldn't be, I thought this is going to be super cool. I mean, like, this is going to be amazing and awesome. And it was. It was also intense. It was. It felt so real, and I have to commend you and your team. And if you haven't been down to jump yet, and do you want to just tell everybody where it's at, and then maybe I can say a few more items?
Yeah, I'll give people a little bit more info on that.
Yeah.
We're in Bluffdale, Utah. It's a corporate office, so we have two jump bays in there. And the jump bay allows one person to experience the whole flight, human flight experience, pulling your parachute and landing. Those two jump bays will be networked together so you can see each other and talk to each other. But it's a completely open world, dynamic environment where we use real physics for you to be able to fly the wingsuit. You have to fly it. So it's just like driving a car or anything else. You've got to learn how to do this thing.
Yeah.
It's not like your downhill thing you just explained. You have no control of that. You're just like strapped in, your head slapping on stuff. You have no control of that. Where jump is, you have to fly this thing.
Yeah.
And you got to figure it out.
Yep. Yeah.
It's awesome. So all wingsuit, you can go to limitlessflight.com and look at the website. You can reserve times. That's the best way for you to come into Limitless Flight is to reserve a time. We have a schedule and people go through the experience in a really orderly fashion, which makes it amazing for everyone. But, yeah.
Which, you know, I've had the privilege, you know, James, of over the last several years, see this go from idea, from concept, you know, and you, raising money to actually build this, which this is not cheap. You know, when you go in to the into the pods, is that what you call them, pods or bays?
Bays.
Yeah. When you go into the bays, you'll understand.
Yeah.
The rigging, the amount of science that goes into this, and then, you know, the virtual experience that you're actually in, and matching that virtual experience to the physical experience you have of the rigging and how you maneuver through air, right? Because you're suspended in the bay. Man, it just like, it was so realistic for me, you know, and the graphics, you know, maybe we can talk a little bit about it. I know the cameras and stuff you're using are crazy, but it's been so cool to watch you have this idea and have a belief and have a helmet in your hand. I remember, you know, just the days of the helmet, like put the helmet on, you know, we're going to jump off the edge, right? And taking people through that journey and helping them believe, and then getting investors to get behind that, right? And actually building now, you know, you got your first two bays. I know the intent's to scale that, you know, and create more experiences nationwide and all that kind of stuff. We'll talk more about that. But maybe let's talk a little bit for you, and I know you were alluding to it here. This has become more than just let's go have fun, let's go have an experience. This has become an opportunity to tap into people's potential superpowers, mm-hmm. and get them into a state where they can get beyond things. They can get past some trauma. They can, you know, reach next level in their mental state, in their dreams, right? And the things that they're trying to create. So maybe just tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm really passionate about. And what is so amazing about Jump is, you know, the dynamic nature of what it is. It's just like, if I can explain it in maybe this analogy or motivational speak, you maybe heard one day, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, if it's like starting a new business, getting married, whatever it is, like, you're going to step up to the edge of this thing. You have zero experience to do any of this stuff that you think you're going to do. And you just got to trust and jump out, and you got to figure it out on the way down. Does that not sound like every entrepreneur, business, like startup company on the planet?
Totally. Totally.
That is what you do. The analogy of Jump and what that could represent to somebody could be really impactful. Of not feeling like you can do it, not feeling like you have the expertise to do it, not feeling like all of those like fear things, right? The majority of psychological disorders that exist are rooted in fear.
Sure, yeah.
You know, stress or anxiety, depression, all those things. And so if we could have an experience where you can get comfortable with the sensation of fear, potentially even reframe the sensation of fear from something that's defensive and retracting you to something that's active and exciting for success, which if you look at flow state and the Marines and Marshall Miller and all these guys, these guys that do these crazy quadruple backflip things on motorcycles.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they think about what they're going to do and what they're visualizing to do, they're not scared like everybody else is. They're excited to succeed. And yeah, that's why they succeed.
Yeah.
You know, that it's been proven through a lot of research. Like that's the highest performing state is somebody that's willing to take two steps into the darkness with excitement and success instead of backing away from the edge.
That analogy is so it's so concrete and so real, especially for an entrepreneur, a founder, you know. I think most of us probably go through, you know, most of us that have that are fairly normal as humans probably go through some significant stress and anxiety as entrepreneurs because of the fear of the unknown, right? You're stepping into the darkness and you have no idea what's on the other side. You've never done it before. You're learning through a fire hose all the time. You're kind of getting beat down in the process, right? And so you become defensive, right? And but the reality is that's not where you thrive. It's not where your ideas and your dream and your organization thrives.
Yeah.
It thrives when you decide to step into the flow, step into your power and say, it's okay. Like,
yeah,
I got this. It hasn't killed me yet.
You know? Exactly. Succeed at all costs and just go for it. And whatever the outcome is, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's so much to that. And that's been very much part of my journey as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I you know, Jump wasn't around. So I reverted to things like mindfulness and meditation. I know you've done a lot of transcendental meditation as well.
Yep.
That's how I've kind of, you know, found my way of getting into flow state and reframing my mindset around fear and anxiety of the unknown to, I got this, we got this. My team's behind me. We're doing this together. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy. We're going to run into some bumps, but we're going to figure it out along the way.
That's right.
And like the fact that you're giving people a way to hack that, to shortcut it in a much quicker way is just fantastic and super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I think that's one of the things that I like to do is, you know, back to taking apart toys, is just like taking apart something, see how it works and be able to assemble it in a different way that like makes it faster or does something new is what I love doing. And so I did the same journey that you did. When I was doing the Void and I was seeing this and I did so many simulations with other people, you know, hundreds and hundreds of simulations with other people in the Void, I got the advantage of being in those simulations and asking more questions about reality. And so I went down this path of transcendental meditation and enlightenment and coaching and a whole bunch of other things because I got fascinated with this moment. Like, how do I take advantage of this moment where these people are so open?
Mm-hmm.
What are all the components that would take advantage of this moment that they're in? And then how can I assemble them together and make it automatic thing so they can shortcut this whole, you know, 10-year, 7-year process that I had to go through. Because, you know, that path is not available to most people. You've got to be at a certain point of your life where you like have some time, where you have this perceived some time and resources where you're like, all right, I'm going to go take these classes. I'm going to invest in myself and I'm going to go learn how to meditate. And I'm going to carve out portion of my day. People don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're busy about going to work and paying the bills and going to sleep and eating food. And then that's it. Right. Yeah. And being
intentional about the life you're creating. Yeah.
So to have an experience that's like out of the box, that gets them a step closer to something, maybe even like is a pivotal moment that's more active and more deep and purpose built, is a huge opportunity to automate that process for other people. You know, I like using this example of like asking people if they feel like they're the equivalent, their perspective is the equivalent of the experiences they've had to date. I haven't met one person that's like, nah, that's not true. It's true. Like I have the perspective I have because of the experience that I've had over the 47 years of my life.
Yeah.
Right. I have that.
We're both 47, by the way.
Oh, are you? Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Cool. I actually turned 47 on the 27th this month. So I'm 46.
So. Oh, well, okay.
Fine. So with that in mind, like I'm the equivalent of my experiences. What if James could have had an experience when he was in his teens that allowed him to overcome this sensation of fear or rewire the sensation of fear to something that was active and exciting?
Yeah.
Could I have shortcut the 20 plus years I had to do in order to be the entrepreneur that 100%. I am today?
100%.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes sense. Like the hypothesis is solid.
Yeah.
If you can have an experience sooner that allowed you to cross that, to cross that line and to cross over into some other understanding or perspective or even a question. Like, hey, maybe I have more potential than I think I do. I just did that thing and maybe, that was insane.
And maybe just to like, I don't mean to, you know, like beat a dead horse, but first of all, before I actually make this comment, I failed to congratulate you, you know, like, again, just taking this idea of what you wanted to build and now actually physically having built that, right? Like,
yeah,
that's got to be like
so awesome.
A massive sense of accomplishment.
So good.
You know? And I saw the excitement from your team. You know, again, we went in before you weren't quite ready yet for, you know, receiving the public. You were, you know, testing out the systems and bringing
you
in
gotta
your first.
Come back.
Yeah, yeah. it was so good then, man. And I need to come back. But for me, just, you know, kind of coming back to this concept, I'll be straightforward. I had fear while I was suspended in that bay. Like, and it's so weird. It's irrational because, you know, I'm just hanging from some cables, you know, here, but you're in this moment that feels so incredibly real. You're like, I'm 3,000 feet in the air and like, what the heck's going on? And I'm supposed to fly down to this, like this target where I'm supposed to land. And like,
I have no idea how to do any of that.
Yeah. I barely move my arm and I go like, whoo, over here, you know, and like, it's crazy. So, you know, honestly, like I definitely had some fear, right? Having come out of that and actually, when I finished that experience, you know, got back to my car, and was, you know, driving back home, that afternoon, I was thinking about that. And I was like, you know, how often do I have in business irrational fears that cause me to retract instead of expand? And as a leader, it's not good because your energy, your team picks up on that subconsciously or consciously. They pick up on that, and that ends up being their energy, right?
Absolutely.
And so as a leader, again, if you can lean in to your flow, right? And just even, so I'd had that experience probably 3 months ago, maybe when we went down and did the beta testing. In the last 3 months, you know, Nexus IT is in a hyperscale
That's
mode right now.
Progress.
Yeah, we're really doing some fun things. And of course, the bigger you get, the bigger the stakes are. And sometimes the bigger the challenges are, right? Mm-hmm. And we've had some things, you know, blindside us in recent months, right? And some of those things I've watched myself, and some of those things have caused me to retract momentarily and go, oh man, like, you know, and you get scared, you know, you get anxious about, you know, what's the outcome of this and what's going to happen. And then I actually go back to that moment, man. So I have to thank you. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
I go back to that moment down at Jump. And I'm like, okay, Jump didn't kill me. You know, Jump didn't kill me. I was just suspended in the air. It was intense, but totally got through it. And I actually had a good time, right? And I learned so much. I learned a lot about myself. And so I kind of just go back to that to remind myself, you know, that we're going to get through this.
You can do it.
Yeah.
You thought you couldn't, but you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's when you talk about this, you know, fear in general, it's like, the conversation you have on the edge of Jump is all of the fear you're experiencing is not real. You're making it up, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at that in reality, all of this fear you're experiencing is usually not real.
Yeah.
Because you're making up a future that's not really going to exist.
Yeah.
And if you can learn that earlier on, you can shift and be like, well, I don't like that future. So why would I focus on that future?
Yeah.
It's not going to exist anyway. It's probably going to exist more if I focus on it.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
Be able to have this realization of like, you know, fear is illusion. In most cases, you're playing out something. You're not present in the moment. You're playing out a future that's not going to exist. And you're spending your priceless time of your day in a future existence in a fear state. That's never going to happen. It's just waste.
It's a waste of a life, right? Like,
it's a waste.
And honestly, like, that's kind of, I think it's generally our usual programming as human beings, right? It's a fight or flight kind of, you know, response. It's psychologically ingrained in our DNA, you know, for eons, right?
Yeah.
And certainly we learn it growing up. We learn it in school. We learn it in family. We learn it in community. And we have this programming, and then you become an adult, and some of us become entrepreneurs, and you have this fear of the unknown, right? And you have this fear of, again, this, you know, you have this dream of, I'm going to create this world, and that's going to be so incredibly amazing, right? But there's this possible world, and you're always kind of bouncing back and forth. And I think our tendencies are to look more towards that negative side of the risks, right? What if this scenario, and what if that scenario, and if this happens, like, I'm going to lose the whole thing, and I've got my team to take care of, and I've got their families, and I've got my family, and I've got our clients, and, you know, so it's a delicate balancing act, and it's something you have to, again, this is for me, and life 100% is a work in progress, right?
Yeah.
Overcoming these things in life and as an entrepreneur is an ongoing work in progress all the time. Mm-hmm. And it still is for me. For me, having leaned into mindfulness, you know, really becoming significantly more self-aware of what I'm doing in the moment, what my triggers are, right? And recognizing where my mentality is taking me and how to shift that back, right, to where I need to be to actually create what I'm trying to create, right, and to lead the people that I'm trying to lead there with me, right? You potentially know this and are better than anybody I know at this, because you create real worlds, virtual worlds, right? Which is just, you know, cool. The rest of us have this, you know, this idea that out there in the ether that isn't like, you know, it's not necessarily tangible, you know? Anyways, what else do you want to tell everybody about Jump and just kind of, you know, your journey so far?
Yeah, I mean, just in line with that, it, these two outcomes you talk about, you know, maybe the positive and negative, like what you want, what you don't want. You know, which one of those fires do you want to feed with your language, with your thought process? Because whatever, I have one of my good friends that says, wherever intention goes, or wherever your thought goes, attention flows, or something like that.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Which one of the fires, and be intentional about it. Like, if you're spinning off on this negative existence, don't do that. Like, catch yourself and be like, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
I like this better. I'm going to spend my intention and my focus and words that I say towards this, because this is a better outcome. This is a better outcome for everyone. If I focus on doom and gloom and, you know, family's got to do X, Y, Z, and I'm going to lose this and this and this. Like, oh man, you're just pouring gasoline on that fire and it's going to get bigger.
Yeah. You know, and one thing that I would maybe just add to that is, one of the things I've learned in business, in entrepreneurship, and in life is just this concept of, where you focus your energy is the experience you will have, right?
Yeah.
Call it a universal truth, I don't know, right? But the reality is, if all you're focused on is the crazy eventualities that maybe could happen,
mm-hmm.
and you're always scared of those eventualities and they cause you to retract, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, those are the experiences you're going to have. If you're focusing on, and that's why, you know, it's why setting goals and having, you know, outcomes that you want to reach and ideating, you know, into the future of where you want to be in life and in business. It's why this kind of stuff is so important, because when you spend time in that frame of mind, you manifest it, you bring it about. When you say in 3 months, this is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And you work towards that to close that gap. Guess what? In 3 months, that's going to happen, right? And I've proven that over and over and over again in my journey as an entrepreneur and in my life.
Yeah.
And so if you know, if there's a massive takeaway from this hour, I would say, whether you're a professional, you're an entrepreneur, you're just joining us, you know, you don't have a career at the moment, right? Life in general, focus on what you want to create, where you want to be in life, 3 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, you will create it. It will happen.
Yeah. Can I share a tool with you?
Absolutely.
I didn't realize that I was doing.
Yeah.
And then I found out that Tesla, Nikola Tesla, did it all the time. That's how he came up with his inventions. And it's a little, I don't know. It's a tool that absolutely works. In 2000, probably 17, I went forward in the future and I experienced jump. I went to the location because I saw my buddy posted a video of him wingsuit base jumping, and I know he has zero skills to do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did he do this thing? I see a video of him jumping the Tiananmen Mountains in China. That's not possible. I'm like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
So I followed his video, went and then found it was jump, bought my ticket, went to jump. Experience the whole thing, just like you see it today.
Wow.
Experience the whole thing. And I got my video at the end. I bought a t-shirt. Like, I did the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole environment was insanely awesome. I posted, I booked my next time. And I had that whole experience and I wrote about it. I basically had the experience, came back and wrote a review.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, this is my experience I had. This is my review. I went to this crazy thing. I didn't write about the technology. I didn't write about how it would function. I didn't write about like the details of things. I wrote about it from the perspective of a customer that only saw the things that I wanted them to see.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was magical. I went into this little teeny room with a wingsuit on and a parachute. I had no idea this was happening.
Yeah.
And I put on this helmet and all of a sudden I was warped to this place and they were telling me to jump off. I'm like, is this real? Do I have to jump off? Like, is this?
Yeah.
And then my buddy was there and we were chatting and he jumped. And we flew together and we had this whole conversation. We landed, we celebrated. It was amazing. And what that did was it implanted in me this inevitable future that will exist. Like, without a doubt,
it does exist
because I experienced it and I wrote about it. And so it exists in the future. Yeah. And so however much time it takes to get there, there's theories on why that happens and time extends, but I knew that inevitably would exist in the future. And that tool has been something that now I'm going to implement all the time. But I did it, yeah, it's more powerful when you write it down, when you go and visit whatever the feature is, whatever product or service or something that you're creating, that you write it from the perspective of the customer. Just write a review, like go through, like really think about the whole thing and how you want the customer to feel, and then write your experience about how it all happened. And then you've experienced it, therefore it exists, and now you can go visit in the future. Eventually the future catches up and you're like, hey, this is a real facility and I can invite you over there, and now you can have the whole experience I had 6 years ago.
Yeah. The power of ideation, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the power. And this is where, I mean, for me, meditation is so useful, right? If you can get into the right flow state in meditation and then begin to, you know, of course, first of all, creating a blank canvas, and then from there, start to create the reality you want to have, you know, so you in 2017 kind of go through this process, you experience it so real that it was like physical to you. And now 5 years later, here it is actually real.
That's how it happened.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. I didn't worry about all the details on how to get there.
Yeah.
I just knew that it existed and that somehow it would get there. Yeah. I did the work that I needed to do every single day to be able to find out, to discover how this thing was inevitably going to exist in the future.
Yeah.
Right. Engineers came to the table, the right relationships came to the table at the right time.
Yeah.
And I just had to be aware that those things were going to happen and they were going to be there for me to have access to create the thing.
Isn't that the most incredible thing too? I mean, Mallory knows just the time she's been with Nexus, even in the last 12 months, but the last 5 years of our journey has been, I would just call it so incredibly serendipitous. Every time we've needed something, a new person to join the team with specific, you know, knowledge and skill set or, you know, mindset. Every time we've needed, you know, some advisor to come along or some connection or some access to something. Of course, I'm ideating out into the future of what we're trying to create. We're making the steps to get there, but it's just like, it appears in front of you and it's like, and I don't mean to be weird, but I've literally had these moments where it's brought me to tears a few times, like where I'm like, this is insane. Yeah. Like literally like 2 days ago, I was saying I need this. Right. Mm-hmm. And here it is in front of me, like in perfection, exactly what I need. Yeah. And there it is. Right. And it's crazy that kind of stuff just happens. And now everybody's going to say, well, these guys are crazy woo-woo hippies and but this works.
Try it.
This is entrepreneurship, you know.
Yeah, go forward in the future, write about it, write about every detail and how you were wowed about every corner you turned, and you were so surprised that they did XYZ and they thought about you in this moment.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean
it works.
You think about Elon Musk, right? I mean,
yeah,
he ideated into some future, right?
Yeah.
And then he went and created that future, you know. You don't have to be a weird hippie to do it. You don't
Nikola Tesla meditate. Did that. He talked about how you go forward in the future and then come back and draw what he saw. It's the same thing. You can draw or write about it.
Yeah.
I drew pictures too. I have a really rough sketch, like a napkin sketch of what jump would be.
Yeah.
I have it. I drew that in like 2016 or something like that. And it looks very similar. Very similar.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's all started
It's like some kind of weird thing that happens, but it just drew boxes. I'm like, that thing does the thing.
That's crazy. And you didn't even know at that point. You had to go hire engineers to figure out like rigging and how.
Yeah. I just talked to them like, I need the thing to do this. And they're like, all right, I think we know how to do that.
Yeah. Man, that's so crazy. What time are we getting to be? We got about 5 minutes left here. Great. You know, Mallory, I know we've been kind of engrossed in conversation. I haven't been watching any cool comments or feeds out there or questions.
Yeah, I have a question. My wife is 8 weeks pregnant, but she's down, but I actually got some information from the website that I sent him. Talk a little further about that.
That is a warning. We had a woman that is an avid skydiver that I think she was like 6 or 7 months pregnant and she jumped. What I would say about jump, and she did that because she she skydives all the time with a parachute, and it's actually a very, crazy thing in reality. When you get yanked up in a parachute, it's very abrupt. Where we're not doing anything like that in jump. It's all very graceful and it's very calm, you know, We're just giving enough simulation to believe that it's happening. And so we can put a 90-year-old grandma in there and she can fly. But what I would say and what I caution is it feels very real to your mind. People come out of the experience, usually when they're wearing a Fitbit or an Apple Watch, and they're in cardio for 30 to 40 minutes after. Like spiked cardio.
I was sweating.
You're doing nothing to do that other than your mind. You're laying on the equivalent of an air mattress, moving your arms like this. Like you're not doing cardio. But they're in cardio for 30, 40 minutes. And so somebody that goes in there just needs to know like how vivid it is, and emotionally and psychologically you're injecting a lot of adrenaline and dopamine into your system. And so people will tense up and they say, "Oh man, that was so hard." I was like, "It shouldn't be hard. Like you're not doing anything hard." I mean, that's kind of left up to our customers if they want to take the risk to do that. But we have to. That was a long drawn out answer. But
yeah, anyways. it's in the liability waiver, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is. It's like heart rate and back problems and all that other stuff. It's like you get it, or heart conditions. So you just get it. It's at your own risk, kind of thing.
Sure. Anything else there, Mallory, that we should get to?
So Russ Reed, individual flow state is essential for the next level focus. Team flow state is the holy grail. Maybe jump 2.0 one day.
There we go.
Yes,
there we go.
That's why our bays are networked together, so you can jump as a team.
I imagine your audio is picking up on the stream. I hope so.
I hope so.
Maybe we read that again. Actually, Russ Reese probably is here at Keelan Park City. he's a fantastic guy. You should go follow him on LinkedIn as well. A guy that I know really well. So Russ said, what did he say?
Individual flow state is essential for new level focus.
Okay, individual flow state is essential for next level focus.
Team flow state is the ground.
Team flow state is the holy grail.
That's right.
Maybe jump 2.0 one day. There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, on that note, all of our centers will be networked together, so I can jump with people in any of our facilities. So Indeed. There's absolutely going to be moments where we'll be jumping with people that are in different states, different countries, racing, whatever we want to do.
That's so cool. You know, like a buddy in Berlin, Germany or something. You can
go to jump at this time and we'll hang out. We chat. We're gonna fly a few lines and send each other our videos at the end.
It's amazing. You know, what better way to connect with your friends?
Great way to start a business meeting. Yeah, your buddy, your new colleague is or business opportunities in New York. You're like, hey, go to jump and we can fly together and then we'll do a Zoom call after.
Yeah,
we could be there together and share something like that.
By the way, again, just going back to this concept of leaders that are in flow. Create teams that are in flow, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen your team. I've seen how committed they are to this. I've seen just how excited they are, how much they believe, right? It's really cool to see. I definitely say, the jump team is in flow state. And it's cool to see. I think it's really, really rad. We're winding down the hour here, James.
Mention something?
No, go right ahead. Please do.
Back to writing a review of your thing.
Yeah.
One of the other purposes of that is it identifies how you want your culture to be, how you want the feel of your brand to be, because your customer's going to feel that and your team's going to feel that. You write all of that in there. Guess who I share that with? The team.
Yeah.
They all read it.
Yeah. There you go.
Marshall Miller read it to his kids going to bed over the years where we were developing it. He read my story about what jump would be or my review. Anyways.
Yeah.
Just wanted to mention that. It's cool. An amazing tool. And I will use it for the rest of my life to build any of the new stuff that you could. I'm actually writing a new one now that projects where jump is going to go.
Jump 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the mark of a really good leader, being able to communicate that vision. Draw people into that vision with you to help build that. Right. And for me, that's been a learned skill. I know, and I have friends that is very much inherent to them. For me, that's been a learned skill to learn to communicate adequately what my vision is, and where we're going as an organization. Right. And then draw people into that, get them to believe and commit and to come and help build. I would very much say, and hopefully my team, you know, says the same thing. I think we're in flow state. And I think it shows by, nice, by the outcomes that we're creating. And just the, Mallory could attest, but the vibe, it is like daily. I come home from the office and I'm like, man, what an amazing day. And what an amazing group of people that just like, I have the privilege of hanging out with every day. And they're so fun. And it's not a burden. It's like, we're just having a good time doing what we feel like is cool. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I do an experiment with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Since you shared with me the experience you had with your first jump.
Yeah.
I want to have you come back four other times.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
And then I want to talk to you about every time.
Okay.
And then see how things shift.
Mallory, hold me accountable. I'm committing to go back to jump four times. All right.
Yeah. And the first time you guys come back, your whole team can come in. I'd love to have the whole team come in, experience that all together.
I already sent that to our HR girl.
Yeah.
And nice.
In internal events. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to do that.
Perfect.
That would be amazing.
But then specifically because you shared your experience, I'd love to invite you back and see what the effects are of you jumping four times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And learning the whole thing.
I learned so much from the first experience.
You've already seen, progress and a massive change in your life. I want to credit that to jump because you've done amazing things, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
See where it goes.
I'm excited to give it a go, and we all know that every time you do something new, it becomes easier the next time. Right.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what I can tap into with it. And by the way, this is, jump. I know you're still working on some of your models and stuff, but corporate, team building events and that kind of stuff, helping teams get to the next level by using this experience. Again, it's fun. They're going to have a heck of a time, but it seriously lets people tap into some superpowers. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You can reach out to events@limitlessflight.com and you can set up a time. We also do bulk passes. So you can buy passes for gifts or incentives. That's all going to come online for the holiday season. So corporations can buy gifts. And what's a better thing than like, hey, here's two passes to experience human flight.
Yeah.
The gift of human flight. Like, I don't know if anything else compares to that. Like, that's way better than here's $500 to pay towards your bills.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that experience again, like what it can, the breakthroughs it can help bring about, right?
Yeah,
potentially exactly. Are so cool. Any final words of wisdom before we wrap up here, James?
Just, take every day. I think I said something the other day is like every, potential challenge is a possibility for change. So take it every day, like whatever it is, focus on the moment, the present. I also said, like, if you can get to the end of your day and say, I did the very best that I could today, you can go to sleep a happy man. It doesn't matter about the next day or the next day. You just said, I did the very best I could today. And I know I did the very best. And that very best is whatever you think it is.
Yeah.
If you tried your very best, if you can end your day with that, it doesn't matter. You might not wake up breathing the next day.
Sure. You don't know. Right? Like, you don't know.
You don't know. You don't even worry about that. Just the next day, very best. Next day, very best.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that. There's my
great wisdom. Great wisdom.
Words of wisdom.
James, it's been such a fun hour. Thank you so much for joining me here on Tech Beat.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate your friendship.
Yeah, I'm excited to see your journey too.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being a mentor in ways you don't even know. So much for being my guest here this hour. Just a couple of quick reminders. We do have a segment coming up. Mallory, am I right on the 26th of August? I believe that's right. With my new business partners, Jake Hiller and Eric Sessions from Intellitex. We'll be talking a little bit about that merger and what that means for us and our teams and our clients going forward and all the new cool things that we're ideating with in the future.
Nice.
And what we're going to create together. And then just look out for all the other really great guests that are coming on board. Garrett Clark and John Bowers from Silicon Slopes and Sid Tetro from Brandless and lots of other cool guests are coming up before the end of the year. Outside of that, we wish everybody a beautiful day. Enjoy your afternoon, and we're going to sign off.
Yeah.